Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, and just say your name and your title with the show that you're taking part of.
Hi, Ike here. I wrote and directed I Hate It Here.
And I'm Reg Douglas, the Associate Artistic Director at Studio Theater.
Awesome. And of course, we're here talking. They mentioned it, but Studio Theater is going to be having two audio plays that they've produced that, in this crazy pandemic time that we can have something of theater-wise to watch here. So thanks so much for joining us. So let's take it one at a time. The first one is called Kings. That will be available until January 24th. And the second one is I Hate It Here, available till March 7th. But let's do Kings first. Tell me what Kings is about.
Sure. So Kings by Sarah Burgess. We produced the play a few years ago, and it's a play that follows lobbyists, so something familiar to DC audiences. It's about the inner workings and machinations of the political cycle that we're all stuck in, whether we like it or not. We follow two lobbyists who are trying to convince a upstart congresswoman to maybe turn to the dark side, shall we say. What excites us about the play is that it's, a play where there is no right or wrong. It's a play about the complicity of politics, and done in such a funny, smart way. And so Marty Lyons, who directed the production in person at Studio a few years back, returns to direct the audio production and brings that same sense of fast-paced West Wing in your ears kind of energy to the text and to the production.
Nice. Tell me more about the main character, Sidney Millsap. So she's a newly elected congresswoman in DC. What's sort of her, character arc? Where is she in the beginning versus where she winds up?
I think, like every good politician, she starts, wanting to really do good for her community. She's the widow of a fallen army general, and so she comes to politics with passion to serve and to really represent her district to the best of her ability. And I think as politics starts to take place and the struggle for power and the battle for control of who gets to write the bill and who gets the bill passed and where does the money really come from, those secrets kind of get unearthed for her. We watch her make some bigger decisions about what's really at stake for her and for her community. I think it's a really fun arc, and it's done by Gina Daniels, who's one of, the American theater's kind of all-star actresses, who goes on this really comedic ride from, upstart idealist to maybe more shrewd and experienced leader.
Nice. Now, obviously, when this was written, there you had no way of knowing that Congress would be such in the forefront with an attack on the Capitol and now impeachment
Yeah.
proceedings. Talk about how just sort of that's a little bit serendipitous there, or any, or there if there are
I
any
mean, it's
specific tie-ins.
no, totally. We rushed to produce the production back in the fall. We wanted to get it out before the November election, which feels like 5 years ago already. That was only a few months ago. And so we rushed to get it out then. And boy, has our political moment only worsened, I think it's safe to say. And so being able to, present plays that speak to the world we live in is what we do best at Studio, and I think King's a great example of that.
Great. Now tell me a little more of the logistics of how this was recorded. So obviously, studio theater, normal times we'd show up and we'd enjoy it live in the audience. Here you had to record it for an audio play, which, in some respects, almost like a podcast or something or a radio, sometimes it's a whole different way of experiencing it. But explain how it was actually recorded. Like, where were the actors? Were you socially distanced? How was it edited together?
We
Just
were,
the whole deal.
sure, we were the ultimate social distance, and I can speak to this as well. All of the actors recorded from their homes. We had actors in their closets, in their bathrooms, in their bedrooms with microphones, with the help of a great sound designer named Miko Fasel, who also worked in I Hate It Here. We were in a great engineering staff. We were able to, record their tracks individually, and then over the about 2 weeks of editing, put it all together and make the production that you'll hear, which includes original music. Both productions include sound effects and sound design. So it's a full theatrical experience just in your ears. And so really leaning into the new medium, in the safest way possible, which for us in this pandemic meant keeping the actors at home with their families and, of course, socially distant from one another.
And then it was all sent in, edited together. Are there any...
Edited together. We added score. We added sound effects. I mean, and it's going... You know, it took hours upon hours of work from our director, Marty Lyons, from Ike, who directed I Hate It Here, to get to the, you know, that finished product. So it feels as if it was recorded in one fell swoop, but it was really done over multiple days and sessions.
Cool. Well, let's pivot to I Hate It Here really quick. Stories from the End of the Old World. We just heard how Kings was recorded. How was the recording process for I Hate It Here? Was it the same thing? I mean, I guess I want to know, you know, how long it took to record each.
Oh, that's a weird question. I actually don't know how many hours it would take because what you're dealing with here with audio is, you know, I mean, you live in the same world. It is a mix of getting stuff while it's hot and then recording stuff and editing it for later. So we had like, we rehearsed and recorded within 2 weeks. And then we had a week and a half for our sound designer to Misha, who is awesome. Misha worked with Noel, who was recording the actual tracks. And they did their own, so they went off for like a week and a half to do their own thing. And then we had another week to do kind of pickups and do a final edit. And then it was live. And I think, whereas something like Kings is a straightforward play where there's scenes and, you know, people have rising action and they have monologues. I Hate It Here is very different. I don't call it a play. I call it a concept album because it's all of these scenes that do not match together. These monologues and these songs that are all kind of about a movement, kind of about a moment in time. Instead of a kind of through line traditional theater plot. So that was really cool to record like with people in different rooms and different cities even, because it's not dependent on your scene partner as much. It's more dependent on everyone just being on the same page and delivering solo.
Gotcha. Well, so you sort of alluded to it, but let's dive in further. You know, if you were going to break down sort of a log line or the premise of I Hate It Here. Explain our listeners what it's about.
Sure. I mean, this is not a 2020 show, but it is very much a show that was written in 2020. And if you listen to it, it kind of speaks to the time of what's going on right now. So there's these scenes, monologues, and stories, I guess, that are just about 30 different people in the country dealing with crazy times and each of them deciding if they stand up or if they sit down. So some of the scenes take place in high school. Some of them take places on back porches. Some of them take place in office buildings, in the street, during protests. We just kind of touch in on various people from really, really, really different walks of life. And we see how they're like doing with this crazy moment we're in. So there's some hip hop in there. There's some crazy comedy. It really does feel like some of the albums I grew up on, which is a mix of like Lauryn Hill, Kendrick Lamar. It feels like a compilation album instead of like a sit down theater show.
Gotcha. I gotcha. I see. All right, cool. So are these both free to listen to, or is there a cost?
They're free.
Oh, they're both free.
Yeah. Yeah. When we transitioned the season to start with the audio work and in your ears, we wanted to make it as accessible as possible. You know, we figured everyone could really use some creative juice right now. And so both plays are free for everyone. Just go to our website, studiotheater.org.
Now, so obviously when you're making them free, clearly you're not doing this as a moneymaker. This is, talk about how it's a little bit, you know, after this year of hell, just to get some folks back doing some work, right?
Totally. I think that's, you hit the nail on the head. It's giving our audiences some great entertainment in a way that only studio can, and stories that studio's excited and inspired by, and artists that we love. We want to get them back to work. And so being able to commission Ike to write I Hate It Here and give him free reign and creative support to live out his vision, that's what we want to keep doing, even in the midst of these harsh and hard pandemic times. Those remain our goals every day. So it's great to be able to put artists back to work, even if it meant working in your closet.
Awesome. How long has studio, like, when, how long have you been temporarily sidelined? Like, what do you remember when your last show was? Was it March?
We do. It was March, about March 15th. We were producing a play called Passover by Antoinette Nwandu. It's a play that reimagines the Waiting for Godot myth, and or play rather, and the Exodus myth through the eyes of two young Black men who are waiting on a street corner. And we learn that they're ultimately waiting for what can feel like the inevitable death at the hands of a white man. Sadly, that play is not just living inside the theater. Those themes are activated in our streets. And this summer, as we saw the galvanization around racial justice, which came far too late, but still did come, we had to keep producing. You know, the play, themes of our plays are happening in our neighborhood. You know, we have to keep telling the stories. We have to keep doing the work. And so though our stage has been dark, the company has been really activated and alive and living out our mission and deepening our commitment to artists of all colors and backgrounds and empowering audiences of all backgrounds in our city.
Beautifully said. I couldn't have said it better myself. All right. So Ike, I want to, let's hear a little bit more about you. So I know I've seen your stuff commissioned it all over, you know, Kennedy Center, Eugene O'Neill Theater, obviously Studio Theater here, but take us back to the beginning. You know, where are you originally from? Chicago, or did I see Minneapolis first?
Yes, you saw Minneapolis first. Yeah. I moved here for school years and years ago during the Bush years, where you lived every day like it was your last, every night like it was Xanadu. No, I've been here for...
Yes.
So great. Sorry, I don't know if you cut out there, but how did you get hooked up with Studio?
I actually did a commission for Studio, and I think it was 2015. It was the show called Put Your House in Order. And that show did not actually get produced there. It got produced in Chicago and a few other places, California. But through that first relationship, we kept in touch. And when this pandemic started, they were actually one of the first theaters that I saw that got the ball rolling and said, oh, you know, we're not going to stop producing stuff just because we can't be in the same place. We're going to find a way to kind of continue this conversation with our resources.
Gotcha. Now, did I also see that you were a staff writer for Fosse Verdon?
Yes, I was. I wrote episode 6.
Whoa! How did that come about? So, yeah, man, you're dipping your toe in all kinds of different mediums here.
Yeah. I mean, I write plays. I do some journalisty stuff. And I do TV stuff too. So, yeah. Fosse was my first kind of jump into that world. And I'm now working on this project with a studio called Wayfarer that is about Harold Washington, who was this amazing mayor, was the first Black mayor of a major city. And it's about his time in Chicago in the 1980s. So, yeah, I mean, this has been a crazy year. But the silver linings I found are like working with audio production. I had never done that before. I have now done 4 of those shows in the past 10 months, and I also sold a couple pilots, and I'm working on some film stuff. So, you know, I mean, all it took was a break from theater for me to do everything but theater.
That's great. Yeah. You honed the chops in all other different facets, but you know, they all influence each other, but first.
Oh, it's all the same thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, what are the pilots about? I want to hear it.
You'll be hearing them when they're announced. It's going to be cool.
All right. Sounds good. Well, first of all, everyone is steering towards the I Hate It Here, which is, it's going to be the world premiere. So it's the first time anyone can actually, you know, hear this now. So is it live now? I know it's through March 7th, but is it already up?
It is.
You can listen to it morning, noon, night, sometimes 4 times a day if you're that kind of freak. But yeah, it lives on that website, which is cool. And it's also something that I think theater should just start doing forever. It's like audio plays are like over a century old, you know what I mean? It is something that people like. There's an audience for it, especially with the podcast community. And also when like theaters start going back, it's time to start putting cameras in those houses, recording them, and having audiences be able to watch those productions later, because there's no rules specifying that they can't. So as terrible as this past year has been, I've been really excited with these jumps that people are making. I just hope they're not band-aids. I hope they are part of like a big surgery that theater actually needs to remain vital.
Perfectly said. All right. Is there anything else you guys want to share before we hop off here? You know what? Why should our listeners tune in to hear Kings and I Hate It Here? You know, of all the things they could listen to, why check these out?
I'll let you go, Ike.
You sell it first.
Well, I'll say this, you know, I think Ike is right. We're entering into a new moment of what accessibility means, what entertainment can mean, and why storytelling and all of its mediums is so vital. And that's the thing that's been guiding the work at Studio Theater. So I encourage audiences to lean into the new with us, go on a new adventure with us. We purposely made it free so everyone can dip their toe at their leisure. And join us as we keep maneuvering through new mediums. You know, we strive to be DC's home for bold new plays and the most exciting playwrights, and Sarah Burgess and the work that Marnie Lyons did on Kings, and definitely the work Ike did as the writer and director of I Hate It Here, put that mission to the test. So we couldn't be prouder of the audio work we were able to make happen. It seems like out of nowhere, with $5, we made it come through, and we're excited about, you know, going into new forums with film soon, and eventually back in person soon enough.
Awesome. Well, again, everyone, it's Kings is available until January 24th on it's studiotheater.org. And then I Hate It Here, Ike's play, is through March 7th on studiotheater.org. So, hey, thanks so much for taking the time.
I'm curious, though, if we have time, I'm curious to hear Ike's pitch, why Ike thinks people should tune in.
Yeah, let's hear it. You're not getting off that easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's that big conversation of accessibility. I think so many theater people limit their scope when they sell their show that they forget that 90% of the world doesn't know that show exists. So something about this that's really cool is if you listen to either of these productions, you're going to be in touch with people who are in TV shows or movies that you've watched. Now you can listen to them on your phone whenever you want to. You are going to know about this theater that you've never been to. And when the curtains come up again, you can actually go see a live show there. So I think it's a really cool kind of expansion on what art can be. It doesn't have to just be available when you're there. It can have a long standing effect, and you can like build actual relationships and get new art from one piece. But also, yeah, I mean, I wrote a very vulgar R-rated millennial 80-minute romp that has like stupid rap songs and awesome monologues and takedowns. So I think a lot of people under 40 talk like that and live that life. And if they have 80 minutes, they would like crack the hell up.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the optimism and finding the opportunities in this time. I appreciate it, guys. That's all I got. So thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.